Good morning.
Try it now.
Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines. Happy after Memorial Day weekend to everyone.
Thank you.
After Memorial Day weekend.
We've just had a long weekend. I feel like everything's changed in one weekend.
What changed? I come back
to my office. There's a huge Joe Show beach towel hanging up in my office.
I got one of those.
I don't know where that came from.
That came from Pro Towels, Inc.
I never get
courtesy
anything.
Courtesy of Dana Zezzo.
It's awesome.
Joe has a whole box of them in his office. You can get one for sure.
Andy got a haircut and has a big suntan on his head.
Okay. Yeah, out at the pool all weekend long.
Ooh, at the
beautiful
at the
weekend.
It was.
Joe Haley,
glad to be back.
What's new with you?
We bought a van.
You bought a van.
We bought a van.
Now you don't even
Yesterday.
Have little kids.
A van or a minivan?
Minivan.
You're supposed to do that when you have.
Because who buys
kids?
A van, really?
I know.
What I kind
did.
Of minivan.
A Kia Sedona.
Well, I have a van.
A Kia Sedona.
But it's old. Yeah.
Those are nice. Excuse me, we're having a conversation.
And so are we.
Well, I'm having a private conversation.
The Michelle Bell, you're tweeting all about Pinot Grigio all weekend. What was that about?
One tweet.
Okay.
It was one tweet on Saturday.
But how many glasses?
It was quite a
it
tweet.
Was
said
many.
Pennsylvania is out of Pinot Grigio.
Because I drank it all.
I think I helped
deplete the supply.
We have two interns starting today. That's big news.
Wow, you just changed the subject quickly.
Do you like
yes,
that?
Yes, and then we have Steve Hawk, the Hawkinator. He's going to man the tech booth. He's got all kinds of great sound effects for us this morning. You want to give us a sample, Steve?
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Oh, and there's a dog. There's a dog in the
what
room.
What was that?
Vinny Driscoll is going to be answering your phone calls. Call us at 215-953-4979. Of course, we like all of your comments, but if you have any questions about how to get past the gatekeeper, we are especially interested, aren't we, Joe?
Yes, we are.
And we're going to give you a $25 Visa gift card if you call us today and we put you on the air. Joe, what else is on tap for today's show?
Well, first I'd like to say hi to Kathy Houston because she's also in the studio, too. Someone got overlooked.
Well, she was talking about Pinot.
I know.
Hi, Kathy.
She didn't even really introduce anybody.
I got overlooked.
Anybody.
Did you want an official greeting? Hello, Kathy. We're so happy
Thank
to have you.
I didn't even notice.
All right. We have Creative Ways Hotels are wooing travelers with kids. Kathy has a report on that. Andy has 10 tips for better pricing. We have some summer-style rules for work. And what's number one? Give us a little tip.
No flip-flops.
No Daisy Dukes.
No Daisy Dukes.
Oh, come on.
We have some data that reveals the public perception of the sales industry. Michelle's going to look at more workers are starting to quit and why that is. We have all this, much more, plus we're taking your phone calls on how to get to the gatekeeper, how to get the gatekeeper on your side. So give us a call at 215-953-4979, or you can send an email to radio@asicentral.com. But first, we're going to start everything with the news and Andy Cohen.
Nobody's ready to complete Joe's sentences yet.
Go, Andy.
All right, we begin this morning with legal news. The Supreme Court weighed in on the licensing and sports marketing world last week when it laid down a unanimous decision against the National Football League. The NFL had been sued by apparel manufacturer American Needle after the league signed an exclusive apparel licensing agreement with Reebok in 2000. In a 9-0 decision, the Supreme Court said the deal violated the Sherman Antitrust Act. It's a decision that is expected to have lasting ramifications for other sports licensing deals. Some unfortunate news to pass on. Ken Heslop, a member of the Promotional Products Professionals of Canada Hall of Fame, passed away on Thursday. He was 87. Check out Promogram today for more details. A new survey reveals that finding new leads is the top marketing challenge for business-to-business professionals. A full 70% of the more than 2,500 executives surveyed said that generating high-quality leads is their number one challenge. The second biggest obstacle for businesses, marketing to a longer sales cycle. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of The Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what's on the docket today?
Well, Andy, we are starting our Hot Products series.
We are.
Leading up to our August issue.
You bet.
Of
our
Counselor
hot issue
Hot
August.
Issue of Counselor Magazine. So we're doing today products that are for personal use by the end user. And you really have to stay tuned to find out what that actually means.
Personal use, like a big old Joe Show towel?
That could be one of them. Okay. Stay tuned to find out, Andy. Okay. Great products.
I will.
And start calling us now at 215-953-4979. And with any questions you have about getting gatekeepers on your side. And we already have some callers on line three this morning. We have Dave. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Dave, what's your question this morning?
Well, it's not so much a question. I was going to give you some information on what we use to get their gatekeepers if you're having a problem.
All right.
We found it really helpful to call, and if you're not getting through from secretaries and assistants, ask for accounts payable.
Mm-hmm. And then what do you do?
They always want bills to be paid, and so they'll pass you right through, and then once in, you can usually just ask for, say that there was a problem, obviously, and ask for that HR marketing department director.
Ah, so wow. You're skipping the gatekeeper entirely.
That's very crafty. Accounts payable, but you're right. Everyone wants to have their bills paid. So you find that pretty effective then?
I have. I think, obviously, as you've discussed even last week, you know, cold calling right now is key, and if a quarter to half of your time is just kept online, not being able to get through, then it's a waste of everybody's energy.
Well, there you have it. Dave, a crafty way to get past the gatekeeper. Thank you so much, Dave, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And you can still call us now at 215-953-4979. Give us your ideas and questions. On line one, we have Kat. Good morning, Kat.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Annie, why are you laughing?
No reason.
Kat, Annie's not laughing at you.
No, it's okay, got good. Nothing to do with Kat.
Kat, what's
calling.
Your question?
I do. I've heard all about, and I've done it, I've already brought food to the gatekeepers at my clients' offices, but I was wondering, other than food, do you have any suggestions for how I can build relationships with them?
Kathy Houston, what do you got?
Apothecary jars. I'm just using Joe's typical answer.
That's Joe's standard go-to thing, apothecary jars.
Sorry, Joe.
That's a little joke, but Joe, now you have to explain your
Yeah, what
apothecary.
Do I do with these jars?
You bring it with logoed mints or logo treats in there. You present it to the gatekeeper. The gatekeeper can keep it on their desk, and other people who come to visit the company can reach inside to get a little mint out. And it gives you an opportunity to make a follow-up visit to fill that jar with more treats.
Then how about something seasonally themed? Like Joe was talking about the Joe Show beach towel. This time of year, bring the gatekeeper a beach towel, a nice fluffy beach towel. Christmas
Is it a beach towel?
A beach towel. Or some suntan lotion.
But I think that, you know, you want to bring things that you could actually, I mean, samples, correct?
Oh, yeah,
not
right,
just
right.
Stuff.
No, with your information on them.
Right, yeah.
I would also say, just to get away, it sounds like, Kat, you already have a handle on the food part. I would say just to talk to the gatekeeper and get to know them and their family and remember birthdays and anniversaries and things like that. And, you know, just so it doesn't come off as disingenuous that you just want to use them to get through to the real contacts of the company, but really kind of make an effort to get to know that person and what's going on in their lives.
I would say you could always, you know, also bring movie tickets, and that can be paired with a logoed bag of microwavable popcorn. If your company has sports tickets, they have to, you know, give them to the gatekeeper. They don't always have to go to the highest executive or the person who spends the most money. Just give it to a gatekeeper occasionally. And so, you know,
but only if they give you the information.
Well, hopefully that helps them give you the information.
So we're talking bribery here, is that right?
Bribery.
You know, David Blaze, one of our speakers at the ASI shows, talks about this, and he advocates a strategy much like our first caller, Dave, and just try to figure out ways to bypass the person entirely. And one thing he does is, you know, talk casually as if you know the person, like, oh, hey, I'm just calling Joe back. And, you know, don't even use the last name. Don't sound so formal. Make it sound like, you know, oh, you're friends with Joe already and you just want to get through. Other people have advocated calling early in the morning before, you know, that person and a gatekeeper may even be on duty, or even in the evening, because how many times have you been working late in the evening? And, you know, a lot of times bosses will answer their own phones after 5 o'clock. So, you know, there are other strategies, too, to just bypass.
Right.
Anyway, hopefully, Kat, that gives you some good ideas. Please stay on the line
definitely.
For your
Thank
Visa
you.
Gift card.
Thanks.
On line two this morning, we have Cindy. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning, guys.
Do you have a question? Or a
I do. I have a fairly good relationship with the gatekeepers already at my clients' companies, but I want to know how to kind of get them more as an advocate on my side. For example, letting them know as soon as they possibly can when personnel changes happens or something along those lines.
I would say exactly what Michelle said. If you already have a good relationship with them, remember their birthdays or their anniversaries, or if they're having a baby, and bring them a little something for that. That will get them to be more of an advocate for you.
Great.
Andy, any thoughts?
Well, I mean, it echoes what Michelle and Kathy just said, but I think that the idea of getting to know these people is really important, not just on a personal level, but on a business level as well. So, you know, finding out what their biggest challenges are, not just for themselves, but also their bosses, the people that you want to ultimately reach. You know, these are people who see all of their bosses' emails. They, you know, make all of their bosses' appointments. So they know full well exactly what their bosses are struggling with. And that can give you some insight if you can get to that information as to what, you know, they're looking for in their marketing promotions or in their campaigns.
Mm-hmm. Good point. All right. Well, I hope that gives you some ideas, Cindy.
Thanks.
Thanks
it
for calling.
Does.
And stay on the line for your Visa gift card. And on line one, we have Robert. Good morning, Robert.
Yes, good morning.
Hi there. Do you have a question or a comment for us?
Well, I just have a comment. I think what has worked for me in the past is when I'm calling on a client, I like to go, you know, both directions near that client. And I just have found really effective way to get past the gatekeeper or at least get information is I just walk in with something inexpensive, like a Post-it note mm-hmm. with my contact info on it. And I'll just say I'm not here to make an appointment or anything. I'm just here to find out when I can talk to Mr. Big, when's the best time to reach him, and does he accept early phone calls?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at 7 in the morning, I'll say, oh, no, he's busy till 9. The best time to reach him is. And sometimes they're really forthcoming. They just tell you right out when's the best time to reach Mr. Big.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is I always try to bring something for the gatekeeper. I mean, we can get so many neat samples.
Sure.
And so another thing I found really effective is I bring a bunch of pens and I just say in passing, oh, by the way, these are some new pens. Would you like any of these to give it a try and then give me some feedback when I come back to see Mr. Big?
Yeah, that's great.
Tell me how you liked it.
That's great. That's a great idea. Well, thanks so much for calling, Robert. Stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you much.
All right. Well, Mr. Big's probably really busy, though, with the premiere
with
of
Sex and the City 2 coming out. Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to get past.
Yeah, I think so.
Gatekeeper, don't
yeah.
you think? Uh-huh. All right, you can still call us at 215-953-4979. We are going to pause right now for a commercial from today's show sponsor, I Promote You.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Good morning and welcome back to ASI Radio, where we'll still take your calls this morning at 215-953-4979. In the meantime, Kathy Houston, hotels are doing some creative things to woo families.
Yeah, and they're using a lot of promotional products.
Tell us all about it.
Well, business travel has been slowly declining, and experts predict it's not going back. So the hotels are trying to attract families with children. Marriott, for example, has started distributing toddler care items such as fitted slip covers for cribs, squirting bath toys, baby lotion, shampoo, and night lights at all of its hotels. And they're all logoed and things that people might forget to bring on their own. In July, Marriott-operated hotels will also begin distributing free activity books and silicone bracelets featuring Nickelodeon characters. So that's fun for the kids. And for $10, customers can buy a SpongeBob backpack containing splash ball, paper doll, and sunglasses.
Oh, so some of them are using these items as profit.
Right, uh-huh. Definitely. Kind of like a souvenir kind of thing.
I might have to get me one of those backpacks.
I know. One of those?
I have a big SpongeBob fan in my house.
Yeah, so do I, and he's 16.
Okay, mine's 5 and a half.
I know. Omnia Hotels also is giving away free bags of goodies for kids with Twizzlers, flashlights, cups, mini drums, and bookmarks, as well as milk and cookies. And also with budgets tight, families are looking for deals, of course, and Homewood Suites by Hilton is revamping its free mail program, and distributors can help with items to spread the word about that. So there's a lot of opportunities to get in there with hotels.
So bottom line is go to your nearest hotel.
That's right, because they're all doing something.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah, especially summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of travel, Michelle, I guess some Americans are having trouble abroad with credit cards. What's that all about?
They are. And for people in the industry, I would say not only because this is, you know, the high holy season for vacations overseas, but also for the shows coming up. There's the October shows in Asia. There's a new PSI show in Amsterdam in August. Here's the problem. U.S. credit cards have the magnetic strip on the background. Slowly but surely, more businesses in Asia, Western Europe, Japan, Mexico, Canada, and Brazil are changing their systems so they have chips embedded in their credit cards, which is all well and good, except for they're also going to automated systems. So, for example, if you want to buy a plane ticket or a train ticket or use a vending machine or anything like that in Europe, they won't accept U.S. credit cards because they don't observe the strip on the back of our cards.
Really?
Yes. And it is
they
becoming...
They can't punch in the number? Your credit card number?
They can if there's an actual attendant there, but because most systems in
Europe
are moving to being automated,
right,
it's becoming a real problem.
That's a problem.
It is a big problem.
Wouldn't you think like Amex would fix that? I mean, it's a global company.
Here's the thing. It's difficult for U.S. financial institutions to switch to the chip and PIN standard, which, by the way, is more safe as far as protecting your information. Mm-hmm. It would cost the industry $8.6 billion to convert U.S. credit cards. It's problematic. And the advice that they give is when you're going to be overseas, to really kind of plan ahead. If you're going to be at a place where there isn't going to be an attendant to help you, bring extra cash. Mm-hmm. For example, if you fly into an airport and it's, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, know that you're going to need cash. There may not be an attendant there to help you, and they may not be able to take your credit cards. It's problematic.
There'd be nobody to take your cash either. I mean, if everything's automated, don't you need a credit card?
Well, probably you could put cash into a machine, maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Mm.
Wow. Okay. So do your homework before
we're
going
go
abroad.
Back to the
I'm
world
not going
of traveler's
anywhere.
Checks.
Well, Michelle, I know you're going to Amsterdam. So are you all prepared for this?
In August. You know, an example that they gave, by the way, was for just think of an automated gas station where there are no attendants. And if you rented a car, for example, Joe did, like you were when you were in Ireland, if you don't have the proper credit card, some countries you won't be able to get any gas, and then you're stuck.
I just had a great image of Michelle overseas with a credit card not working.
Just would be
holding
yelling.
The thing in the air complaining.
Air would be yelling. I'm going to post this on our website so you guys can read more about it, but it's definitely something that will be problematic.
What is on the chip? I mean, does it have all your financial information?
It does. It's encrypted with microprocessor chips. Everything about your banking information, your personal information. Things like that.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had to buy something when you filled all those forms? Instead of waiting to be filled out, they could swipe your card and that information would automatically be downloaded onto their form. So you don't have to wait in a car dealership for 45 minutes.
That would be wonderful.
It'd be wonderful as long as it was actually you giving that information.
That's true.
As opposed to somebody else with your credit card.
Mm. All right, Captain Killjoy.
All right, Andy, you've got tips today for better pricing. What's that
I
all
do.
About?
Distributors need to come up with ways to price their products and services better so that they can get higher margins. So here are some tips. This is a list of 10 tips. We'll put them all on our website, but I'll go through a few of them right now. The first is to take a critical look at your costs and really get a good handle on exactly what your costs are so you can create pricing that relates to that more clearly. I think a lot of distributors don't fully understand exactly what all of their costs are, and they just look at cost of goods. But there's a lot of other costs you have in your business that has to go into pricing as well.
Okay.
Another is to set prices that capture value. So you have to get out of the commodity business. You know, you're providing a service, and you have to put a price to that service. So you want an overall type of pricing that you can offer to your clients that includes shipping and the services you provide.
Creative services,
as opposed to just the 125 mugs at $1.25 a piece. Like, that's get out of that commodity mindset so that you can talk more service packages with your clients.
Well, there's so many distributors now that are providing whole marketing solutions for clients. You've got to add that time in for sure.
Build it in, no doubt. Yeah, that's part of the cost. You have to know what your costs are more clearly so that you can build that in. And last is to provide options. You know, customers actually tend to spend more when they see options laid out. If they say our budget is $5,000 for this promotion, you know, come in with something that meets that budget, but also give them an option for something that's a little bit higher. And
the good, better, best philosophy.
Yeah, show exactly what the features and benefits are of both and where, you know, the higher price might make more sense for their business.
I was just in Omaha last month reporting a story for a counselor, and I talked to a distributor who was selling items to Berkshire Hathaway, Warren Buffett's company, for their annual big powwow they have. And they said, you know, he's notoriously cheap, Warren Buffett. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, he's not a big, you know, a lavish guy. And they did the good, better, best thing for him, and it worked. They showed him, I guess, some kind of magnets and then Rubik's Cubes, which he had asked for, and then these really expensive high-end umbrellas. And, you know, they said he knows quality, so if he thinks something is worth it, he'll invest in it, and he got the umbrellas. So.
Yeah, I think once you have it all laid out in front of you and you say, you know, the quality.
Absolutely. And one more point on pricing is to be careful with discounts. There's a lot of people that have given discounts over the past year to 2 years as the economy has struggled. But you have to be careful with that, because once you set a precedent of that discount, then your clients expect it. And it's harder to mark up your prices afterwards. So
no discounting.
Be careful with discounting.
All right. Well, you're going to put these up on our website because you've got several more points
sure
on
am.
There. All right. All right. It's all been all over the news this weekend, the BP oil spill. And Joe, some people are cashing in on this.
Yes, can there be a silver lining in that oil slick?
Gosh,
that's
I don't think so. I really don't think so.
You're going to have to go a long way towards proving it.
Well, some satirist, is that how you say it?
Satirist.
Satirist.
Yes.
They're making money with logoed products that are actually taking shots at BP, and they're doing some pretty brisk business on the internet. There's buttons that say spill baby spill to kind of the take on the drill baby drill. You can get tote bags with the BP logo and dripping oil off of that logo. Very popular are T-shirts that have a simple lowercase F, lowercase U, and then the BP symbol. And, you know, people are unhappy with the lack of cleanup or the long time it's taken to get this thing under control. However, these people are online making money. And they say Snark is also paying off for Street Giant, a fledgling fashion site whose founders created an oil-spattered BP Care shirt to raise money for healthygolf.org. So the money is also going to good causes. And there's a Twitter site set up that makes it look like it's actually BP, but it's not. And one of their latest tweets is getting responses like, "I can't help but be disgusted by your tweets. Shouldn't you be taking more expletive seriously? You're making a joke." I'm not, well, I don't want to say the expletive. And anyway, people think that this BP site is for real. It's not. And on the flip side, BP has done nothing to try and get people to stop using their logo or to get this Twitter site taken down.
Well, they have more important work to do.
Yeah,
they do have bigger fish to fry.
So someone has found somewhat of a silver lining. People are making money off of this. People are also making money that's going to charities that are helping the people in the Gulf
Coast. That's the American way. We always
find
the silver lining.
Controversial issue. Can I ask one question, though, about this BP thing?
I was going to ask a question.
There it is.
Here's my question. I was watching I think it was MSNBC over the weekend, just briefly, about this. And they were interviewing Kevin Costner about his cleanup machine.
His brother.
What is that? How is he involved?
He's been for years, has been developing a machine or a boat or something that will siphon that oil-soaked water into some type of machine, and it spits out the water, and it keeps the oil.
How big is the machine,
though? They're manufacturing. I think he's got three or four of them already ready to go, but he spent millions of his own money developing this machine. However, they're doing nothing. They're doing nothing there. Countries have offered help. The Netherlands, I think, has these machines that does the same type of thing, these boats that will help siphon off the oil. And to date, no one has been, said yeah.
It was kind of bizarre because they had him on there and they're like, Costner's machines are
they
work and they're gonna, and then they had Stephen Baldwin, who's down there suddenly filming a documentary, and it's like a spokesperson for the oil thing. I'm like, who are these people and why? Okay, but thank you for explaining.
It's
Andy
confusing.
You had a question.
Well, yeah, my question is, would anybody here go into a BP gas station?
I did.
You did?
There's one. Well, I didn't even realize it.
There's one in my neighborhood.
Yeah, that's the one I went to.
I have not been there.
I wouldn't, given the option, unless I was broken
down.
That
is the one I went to when I told Steve that I went to that gas station. He goes, "That's BP, you know." He's like, "Don't go there."
There you go. Smart husband.
Well, they've got big problems.
Yeah, they have problems, and they're trying to fix their problems. It was an accident. I don't think that they're happy about it because they're losing millions and millions of dollars.
That is true.
They had positioned themselves as the eco-friendly oil company. That's a
and now it's coming out that some of that might have been some greenwashing as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's switch gears for just a minute. It's summertime officially, right? It's after Memorial Day, so what does that mean?
June 21st.
You can wear white.
Well, no,
but it's summertime.
Yeah, it's summertime.
It is summertime.
You can wear white.
Summertime.
Maybe break out the white patent leather shoes.
Yes, I'll be doing that tomorrow. Kath, what are some other style rules for work? And let's keep in mind, this is for work.
This is for work.
Trust me, I know.
Okay. Now listen, sandals are fine. Everyone loves wearing sandals in the summer, right?
Yeah.
I have sandals on.
I'm good with sandals.
Yeah. But you have to look at your feet first and make sure they're good looking. Now, don't anybody look at my feet because they're not and I have sandals on. But
I'm looking right now.
But you're
they're fine.
Yeah, I mean, they're passable. They're passable.
So what do you mean? You can't have like toe fungus?
Don't have any toe fungus. Don't have any hammer toes or whatever.
No, sandals for you, Joe.
Hairy toes or anything like that.
It would be weird for a man to wear sandals though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is... No. Sandals are
Let's delineate here.
No gladiator sandals for the women. To work for men.
Now, this is another thing. You might be surprised at this. It says, just say no to silk and linen. Silk and linen.
Well, I wear both of those things.
Linen wrinkles very easily.
That's the thing.
But it's acceptable, I think, in the summer. I mean,
To look wrinkled? Yeah.
But yeah, but like not at the workplace, I think.
But
I think
I wear linen pants all the time in the summer.
Yeah, you do.
I guess I'm unacceptable.
We talk about it all the time, too.
But, yeah, it's we true. Talk about your behind your back. But this says, to avoid being a wrinkly mess with sweat marks, opt for clothes made of cotton, lightweight jersey, or tropical weight wools. That means you, Melinda.
I don't sweat. I have no problem with sweating.
All right, choose a lightweight bag. I don't know what the big deal is about that. And this says, yay to shorts, nay to Daisy Dukes.
I say nay to all shorts, but
well, they're talking about, you know, nice dress shorts,
like Bermuda shorts, yeah, that go around your knees. Like
again, nice, no, I don't think a man can pull it
there
off.
There are some nice dress shorts.
You're right, for
you
women.
Know. So you, those are okay. I don't see too many
Michelle,
people wearing those.
Michelle, you're looking perplexed.
I'm not. I'm going to use her name because it. When our friend Dana, our colleague Dana, wears Bermuda shorts that go down to her knee, and I think that they're perfect.
Well, she's
very
adorable,
stylish.
And she always looks adorable.
She's right. Very stylish.
And she wears it with a blazer, and I think it looks great. I think in that instance.
But, right. Yeah, that's kind of an aberration, though. Mm-hmm. I mean.
So Joe can't pull it off?
No.
Joe, go ahead.
What about flip-flops? I hate flip-flops.
No flip-flops. No flip-flops. No.
And, you know, I think
they also I hate the flopping.
That it's a, it mentions that.
You can hear someone coming down the hall.
It's annoying.
But this really depends on what industry you're in and what your office culture
does.
Is
it
like.
It definitely does.
Some offices get away with, I mean, people wear t-shirts, shorts, flip-flops in the summer. Mm-hmm. And some would never wear sandals, wear open-toed shoes.
That's
so
true.
It just depends.
Right.
All right.
Remember the open-toed shoe memo we got once at our old company?
Right. They weren't allowed, right?
Yeah. They sent a memo around specifically saying no open-toed shoes allowed.
That's true. But yet.
That was it. That was the whole memo.
But yeah, women were obviously allowed to reveal their thongs because we saw several women who had the low
cut. Right, okay. That takes it one step further, but yes.
Didn't say that.
Isn't that trend gone? Because I just saw a woman at a bar with that, and Steve took a picture of her on his cell phone.
Did you tell her his Facebook page?
Did you tell her she's so 2008?
Yeah.
That's what you should tell her. Yeah, I think that's out. All right, moving on. Salespeople sometimes have a bad reputation. Andy, is that reputation getting better or worse?
Well, you know what? It's getting better.
That's good.
Yeah. In past years, there's a study done by Sandler Training. And in past years, the least trusted profession has been salespeople.
Not lawyers?
Lawyers is on the list, but no. But what do you think is the least trusted profession
Politicians.
Right now? Politicians. Right. Politicians is the runaway first.
Yeah, they are.
Journalists is in there. Politicians runaway first. Salespeople is second. Let's see. Lawyers is third. Journalists is fourth.
Salespeople second. It doesn't seem very good.
Bankers is fifth. I was in the middle of saying something.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. They used to be first.
Okay.
And the percentage of people naming them has actually decreased. But this study goes into the idea that salespeople need to work hard at creating trust and showing that they have a value as opposed to, like we were talking earlier, just presenting a commodity. That's when they start not trusting, when customers start not trusting you. But politicians are the way worst. And us journalists are, you know, on the list.
We're at the bottom of the barrel.
Don't be scared of us. We're good.
All right. Well, NBA puts logos on everything. Joe, what are they putting logos on now?
Pizzas.
Pizza.
Wow.
Pizza? The logo's on the pizza?
You can get a logo on a pizza now. It's not like you can go
How?
To any...
How? Is it spilled out in the pepperoni?
No, but that would be quite creative. It is made out of, and I have this someplace you had to ask that question. It's made out of flour and water and salt and food coloring, and they actually put it on top of the
pizza.
That's
a good picture. We should put that on our website. It's a clear logo.
So in other words, the NBA has lost some merchandise sales over the past couple of years, and they're trying to find different ways that they can increase that, and where can they put the logo. So one of the things is pizzas. They're also using the toasters that when you toast the bread, it puts the logo on. We've had them in this industry. Mm-hmm. So now you can get them with all, you know, blah, 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 I love it, whatever the number is on the NBA teams, you know.
But where do you get this pizza, I guess is my question.
Okay. The logos won't be sold directly to consumers, but to some 1,200 independent pizza parlors nationwide.
Oh, so local Boston pizzerias can put
have
their Boston
right.
So, like, if you're having a Flyers party when they win the Stanley Cup, you can order
right.
Pizza.
And the pizza could
when they win the Stanley Cup. Yeah, they got to win a couple.
I'm optimistic.
Of games first.
I'm optimistic.
I am too.
I'm flyered up.
Oh no, you did not just say that,
she
did you?
I said this. Put this on the website, Joe, because it's pretty cool.
I will.
Logoed pizza.
Logoed pizza.
All right, Michelle, we knew this was going to happen as the economy improves. Workers are jumping ship, is that right?
They are. In February, the number of employees voluntarily quitting surpassed the number being fired or discharged for the first time since October of 2008, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And a recent sentiment indicates that the number of employees quitting could continue to grow in coming months. In a poll conducted by human resources consultant Right Management at the end of 2009, said 60% of workers said they intended to leave their jobs when the market got better. And that's where we're heading right now. Experts say, here's what you can do to keep people in place and keep them happy. Have one-on-one stay meetings with them. The point of that is to try to nip things in the bud before they get so bad that the employee leaves. And companies might want to try to have more nuanced employee requests and benefits, such as lowering stress at work, improving work-life balance, and creating more opportunities for creative advancement within the company. And I'll put this online so we can see it.
This is a great opportunity for distributors, though, to take these numbers, take this article, and bring it to, you know, your HR clients and say, look, we've got to beef up
retention
program.
And
we've got to put a new one in place. You may not have been worried about this last year, but, you know.
Here's something to remember. It typically costs a company half of the person's annual salary to recruit a person for that job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Not good. All right. Well, that's a great opportunity for distributors. Joe Haley, last week we did not give you time to rant. God. Things must be building up, so let it loose.
It's like a pressure cooker in here.
Let it loose, Joe.
About to explode. Okay, I've had my fill with bad customer service, Andy. Just this past week, I called to have a yard of topsoil delivered, and while the guy on the other end of the phone got all my vital information, he did so in a gruff and annoyed manner. I never thought that sighing was something a sales rep should be doing, as if I was bothering him with my order. Like,
oh my God,
where do you live? All right, you know, it's like it was.
Maybe he was having a heart attack or something.
Jeez, thanks, Kath.
What was that?
Then I called a horse stable to see if one, they sold manure, or if two, they would let me just come and scoop it up by myself.
Why exactly? Stop.
To me, the question seemed normal, Michelle, but the woman who took my call thought I was a bit odd.
You are.
I am, but she doesn't know me, Andy.
You want to scoop up your own manure?
Do
you think that's the least?
Yes. Seriously, her way of treating me was not professional, and come to think of it, if I ever consider taking riding lessons, it won't be at that farm. So if you're answering phones, do so in a manner that is professional.
What did she say to you?
Like, what? You want to do what?
Why do you want horse poop?
I think that's a reasonable question on her part, actually.
You till it into your vegetable garden and your flower garden.
Don't eat Joe's tomatoes when he brings them in.
Don't worry.
All right, finish up.
He's done.
Is that are you
done? Yeah, pretty much. She took the wind out of my sails.
He's going to giddy up and go home now.
All right. Great. Well, we are out of time today. Thanks for everyone. Thanks for listening. And thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Be sure to tune in next week when we've got some great marketing ideas. And have a fantastic week.